Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Chapter 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so we're really focusing on verse 10, where it says the deep things. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Deepening your walk with God. Let's pray together that the Lord would help us here tonight. Jesus, we need you again. We depend upon you and your anointing to speak to us, God, here tonight. Challenge us through your word. I pray that you would bless people tonight in this house. Pray, God, that you would move upon their hearts and stir their souls. Cultivate a desire within us all to draw closer to you and nearer to you and to be more like you, to know you in a greater way. We thank you, Jesus, for the privilege and the invitation that we have through your word for us to come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. We talk about knowing God, which relates to our subject tonight. And there's a lot of ways that you can know things. You can know things by simply reading about them or studying them. And there's a certain level of knowledge that you can achieve through that, sort of an academic knowledge. But an academic knowledge can only take you so far, especially when we talk about the things of the Spirit. These are not things that can merely be taught in a lesson. They can lead you into things, and they can certainly be helpful as receiving the teaching of the Word of God as necessary. But I'm going to tell you, a real relationship with God takes more than that. But you need a true experience with God. These are things that have to be experienced. We can talk about it, and we can preach about it, we can teach about it, but that is all in hopes of cultivating a desire for you to get into it yourself and to launch out into it yourself. And as I have said in these previous lessons, you know, it's through trafficking in the things of the Spirit, through wading out and being sensitive and being open and yielded to it, and praying and seeking for it, and then when the opportunities come, opening up your heart for God to impart things into your spirit. That is the way that you really develop a deep relationship with God. Now, I've already stated to you that some people have no desire to go beyond the salvation level. And they have no desire to go any deeper than that. I maintain that if that is the entirety of your desire, you'll never really find what it is to have joy in your relationship with God, because just by definition, that kind of an attitude is an attitude that says, just tell me what I have to do, what I must do. And there is some must in being saved. There's some things that the Bible requires of us in order to be saved. But there's so much more than just living barely across the line. There's so much more to your relationship with God than just quote unquote getting a ticket of salvation. Amen. But I believe there's much that we can receive and experience in God, and I believe it's God's will that we receive those things. And I understand that everybody doesn't have to be at the same level or necessarily understand certain things about the Word of God or living for God in order to be saved and to make it and all of that. And I realize that some people do not necessarily have an interest in that. Some of us don't necessarily have an interest in eschatology. That's talking about end time events. I read the book of Revelation because the Bible tells me there's a blessing in it, but I can't tell you that I understand everything about the book of Revelation. And I think I'm safe in that because I don't believe the man that wrote it understood everything about what he was writing, because it was something that was going to be revealed. And there's people that study it, and they have educated guesses of what it means and interpretations of it, and I appreciate their scholarly approach. But can I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I'll leave all the guesswork up to them. And I guess I have the attitude of some that it's going to, they ask me if I'm pre, mid, or post. And like one man said, I'm pan. I believe it's going to pan out. And the Word of God tells us that we need to be ready at all times. And I believe with all of my heart in the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I teach and preach that. That is what I tend to lean towards. But I don't know the day or the hour that He's coming. But I can tell you that we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are things that are, you know, if you're interested in that, you can delve into. But I think all of us, in our basic knowledge of pleasing God and walking with God and drawing closer to Him, we ought to all desire that. That's not just for a special crew. That's not just spiritual special forces that sign up for that. But I believe in this hour that we're living in, which is intense, the Bible says that the enemy cometh down with great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. So I think our response should be commensurate with the devil's intensity and his ramping up of efforts to try to destroy and try to diminish our walk with God. I think we ought to ramp up our efforts on this end, and we ought to draw closer to the Lord. And I don't think we need to be praying less. I don't think we need to be worshiping less. I don't think we need to be less in tune with the things of God, but in fact, I think we should be more in tune with the things of God. And so, in this third installment of these lessons, deepening your walk with God, I began a few weeks ago, and I had no idea that the Lord would lead in this direction. In fact, this whole thing really started out of my own personal quest, and God dealing with me in some of these areas, because I want to always deepen my relationship with the Lord. And I think as a leader, the Lord would expect me to be first partaker in these things. I couldn't preach or teach to you in things that I'm unwilling to commit myself to and consecrate myself in. So Lord's been dealing with me, and these things that I'm relaying to you, they first stirred my heart, and the Lord's dealt with me in all of these areas. So I want you to understand that here again from the outset tonight, that God, you know, He has a way of creating a spiritual curiosity and a desire for us to go a little further in Him. We don't ever need to become stalemated in our spiritual journey. We don't ever need to get to the place that we're stagnant or we're just static in our relationship with God. But help us some way to always be on the move and be going forward in God. Certainly not digressing or backsliding or pulling away, but always drawing closer to Him. And I have found that really being spiritually stalemated is probably an impossibility. You're either going one way or the other. You're either pulling away or you're drawing closer to God. That's just how it works. Amen. And backsliding is a process. We talk about our relationship with God being a process and drawing closer to the Lord being a process. Rarely does anybody just overnight wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm just going to give up on my relationship with God. That hardly ever happens. Not for people that have a true relationship with God in the first place. But it usually is an ebbing away of certain things. It isn't long till they start giving up spiritual disciplines that it takes for us to stay spiritually replenished and renewed and on top of it and to live victoriously. And it isn't long until prayer, when it becomes unnecessary, then your desire for the house of God will become the next thing. And the Word of God will begin to collect dust. And you will no longer delve into it and read it. This right here, my friends, is the bread of life, the Bible says. This is where you get your spiritual strength from. And so we need to know. This is really the only... this is the only God-inspired book that there is and the only one that the Lord directly left to us. Amen. And you can read a lot of books about God, but this book is the one that He authored. This is the one that is Holy Ghost-inspired. Amen. And this is the one that will feed you like none other can. And so we need to know and understand the Word of God. Many people desire to draw close to God and develop a closer walk with Him. However, some may not know exactly how or where to start or where to begin. And, you know, we tend to think, when we think about deepening our relationship with God, we think about really the outgrowths of that. And that is, well, if I deepen my relationship with God, then that means I'm going to be praying more. And that means I'm going to be studying more of the Word of God. And that means that I'm going to have to incorporate some fasting. And that means that I'm going to really learn some things that maybe I perhaps didn't know as far as through study of the Word of God to help me and implement those things in my life. And all of that is true. But I think... we can take this a little bit deeper than that and tell you that it has to start with a desire. And you know, a lot of things have been achieved through people that maybe didn't know how, but they had a desire to find out how. Things that seemed impossible to people, they had no idea how to do it. But, you know, like the old saying is, necessity is the mother of invention. And that is so true. Can I tell you that that is also applicable in your relationship with God? When you start desiring God and the things of God, you will not think of it, well, I have to pray X amount of hours, or I have to read X amount of chapters, or I have to fast X amount of days to do it, to get there. But you start seeing that I've got a desire, and it makes all of those things, those spiritual disciplines, as we like to call them, it makes them part of a devotion unto God rather than a duty. And when you start doing it out of a desire, amen, it makes it a whole lot easier because the Lord is leading you into it. Because it's Him that put that desire in your heart in the first place. I promise you, your flesh doesn't want to do those things. And the enemy of your soul, the devil, certainly does not want you to do those things. But it's a desire that is already... been awakened and in your heart, and it's God that is pulling on those heartstrings or strumming your heartstrings to create a desire and awaken something within you. Amen. And so we need to lean into that. We need to receive that. We need to open our hearts to that. And that's where you start, is with a true desire. If you got a true hunger and desire and appetite, you'll find a way to draw closer to God. You'll find a way, amen, to give yourself more fully unto God. And then somewhere along the way, they become sometimes people that desire a walk with God. They can become discouraged along the way. That's not uncommon. Are disappointed with something. And so they discontinue the pursuit before they begin to reap the rewards. But the Bible says, and I've quoted it often here, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You cannot give up too early. And if a little despondency or discouragement or something that comes along can get you off track and cause you to leave off in your dedication to God, then there is going to be those things. You know, your will to draw close to the Lord and your desire is going to be tested. You can rest assured of that. Your desire to, because God has to trust us in order for us to have that deeper and more intimate relationship with Him and for Him to reveal things to us and to bless us with anointing and bless us with a closer relationship with Him, then He has to trust us. And I believe that that's biblical. You can find that throughout the Word of God. Anytime God really blessed a man, He allowed him to be tested in proving his ability to be trusted with the things that God would allow him to experience as far as anointing and being used of God. You know, we talk about people and we look at certain individuals and we get inspired by their relationship with God. Oh man, we see their ministries. We see how God is using another person. We hear their stories about how God has dealt with them or the prayers that God has answered or the testimony that they have, and we're inspired by that, and we should be. And there's nothing wrong with that. God sometimes uses those things to kickstart us and to motivate us to desire that for ourselves. But a lot of times we don't see behind the scenes the things that they had to sacrifice and consecrate and put on the altar in order to get that level of anointing and to receive that type of blessing from God and to have that kind of walk with God. Amen. We talked about it last week. We talked about sacrifice and where sacrifice plays, or not, it wasn't last week, it was the week before that. We talked about sacrifice and the role that it pays and how that you have to look at the price tag, and there is a price tag involved in this. And you have to be willing to pay that price. And you have to be willing to give. It may be time. It may be a willingness to surrender something that would stand in your way of achieving that sort of relationship with God. You know, if you're going to spend time with the Lord, it may mean that you give up something else and surrender something else. And so there's a sacrifice that's involved, and it comes with a sacrifice. If the fire's going to fall, there's got to be a sacrifice on the altar. There's got to be a willingness to pay that price. But as I have stated to you, it's far more costly not to have the blessings of God and the anointing of God and revival than it is to pay the price for revival. And so I want to gladly lay whatever it is on the altar that may stand in my way of achieving that relationship with God that He desires and has purpose for me to have. And I believe that every person in this house, God wants to equip you and anoint you to fulfill your purpose in the kingdom of God. And you will have to reach a certain level in your relationship with God to be able to fulfill that purpose that He's called you to. And when God puts a calling on a person, and He desires to use a person in a certain area of ministry. And, you know, when we think of ministry, we only think about it in pulpit terms, but there's more to it than just that. We're all involved in one way or another in working in the kingdom of God and all of our role is, our roles are important to the overall body of Christ. And so it's important that we be able to reach that place in God so that He can trust us with the anointing that is needed to fulfill and to accomplish and be successful in what He's called us to do and purposed us to do. You believe that? And so it's necessary that we find out what that purpose is and be willing to pay the price to get to the place that we can be used of God to see that purpose fulfilled in our lives. Amen. As I've said before, and you've probably heard it, and that is that, the two greatest days in a person's life is the day they're born and the day they figure out why they were born. And that's true in living for God. Two greatest days in your life is when you come to God and get the Holy Ghost and are born again. That's a great day. Amen. And then you find out where it is in the kingdom of God that I can work for Him and be a blessing to the kingdom of God and do the will of the Lord. That's where I'm going to find joy in my relationship with God and completeness in my relationship with God. And that is where I'm going to be most happy, is when I'm doing the will of God for my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And as I've stated to you, that we just need to get up every day and say, God, what is the will of the Lord for my life today? And I promise you that when we figure out what the will of God is for our lives, we're going to find out that it does not always include our will. Hello? My church left me. Praise God. Because we all have a will. And it is enmity, the Bible says, against God many times. Our fleshly will is enmity against the Spirit of God and where the Spirit is trying to lead us. You read Romans chapter number 8, which, if we had to just really just choose one chapter in the book of Romans for you to read to get the message of Romans, it would be chapter 8, because it's talking about flesh versus the Spirit. And I was going to incorporate some of that in our lesson tonight, but time would not allow. I'm just telling you that is a great chapter for you to understand and to know more about living a life in the Spirit. And you got to mortify, it says in there, the deeds of this old flesh. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Not only do people not sometimes know how, and then sometimes they get discouraged or impatient in the process, they also become distracted in the midst of it. The devil is the master of distraction. Life, responsibilities, we all have that. And even crises that arise, and you can fill in the blank there. I'll just be up front with you. Developing a walk with God will require that you be intentional. Deepening your walk with God will require that you be focused and that you hone in on that and you desire that. And you put that at the top of your list and you make that a priority in your life. That's the only way it can happen. It's not going to happen by accident. You cannot get order in your life by just accident. You got to purpose some things. You got to be intentional. You got to be driven in some areas. And it's sort of like building a conduit between you and God. You think about pipelines. We're in Texas, down around, I think, Texas City. There's a pipeline from those refineries down there that runs. It's called the Colonial Pipeline. And it runs from like Texas City all the way up to New York City. And that's quite a long distance. And it runs along the coast there of Texas through over around Beaumont and those areas. And then it goes over to Lake Charles. And then it cuts up into Mississippi. And then it goes over to Birmingham, Alabama, and then it cuts in on the East Coast, and it feeds all those major cities with crude oil and gas and diesel and all those different things. It's quite a pipeline. But they tell me that it was temporarily affected by Hurricane Harvey, when, of course, that big hurricane and all the flooding that came in because of the hurricane, it was affected. That pipeline that fed some of the major cities on the East Coast, our nation's largest cities, was affected by a storm. And so the flow was affected by a storm. I'm going to tell you, there is storms that come. And there's things that happen that can disrupt the flow. They can disrupt the continuity between you and God if you allow it to. Amen? And it's so imperative that you take precautions and realize, I can't allow anything to cut off the flow of God's Spirit to me. And I need His touch. I need His anointing. I need the flow of anointed preaching into my life. I need the flow of God's Spirit in the altar. That's why you best get up here and get connected every chance you get. Get around the altar and linger in there. Don't be satisfied with not being connected. Don't be satisfied with not getting anything out of it. Amen. Come with an intentional focus that when I come to church, I come to have church. I come to receive something from church. And there's something always to receive if you come hungry. Well, let me just get on that just a minute. People that say, well, I just didn't get much out of the service tonight. It's because you didn't come with an appetite. Because there's always something to receive when you come to the house of God. It may not be your candy stick. It may not be what you always desire. Matter of fact, it may even go against your fleshly grain. Whatever it is that's preached from the Word of God or taught from the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that you don't need it. It can't always be ice cream and cotton candy and whatever else it is that you like. I was had my grandson over, one of my grandsons, and I was watching the other two children, and I noticed I was missing one. And got to looking around. I mean, it's a full-time job, folks. Got to looking around and said, where is that little rascal? I went in my room. I couldn't find him and looked over, and I seen something kind of moving in the closet. And we had some holiday candy that was left over in one of those tin things. And he had that in his arms, had it open. And it had some, I think those little Hershey Kisses things in there. And I could see the evidence in little foil places on the little foil was laid around. Had a, you know, the gingerbread trail there. And so anyway, I had to get it away from him. That wasn't an easy job because he would rather eat chocolate than he would like to eat dinner or lunch or anything that would be better for him. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of that, but you can't live on that all the time, right? And you can't get everything you need on that all the time. And I'm thankful when there's certain things we all like and we enjoy in the Word of God, and we like to hear preached. But you know what? I need a well-rounded diet, in other words. I need the Word of God to be taught, and I need the Word of God. You know, I sometimes see guys preaching, and I think of myself when I was younger, and I thought, man, I wish I could go like that now. I can't go like that like I used to. All that full throttle business, I can't do it like I used to could do it. And be honest with you, I'm not as interested in it as I used to be. But, you know, there's a need for that. There's a need for that. There's a need for excitement, and I appreciate passionate preaching. But you know, every once in a while, you can't just always be climbing the curtains. You can't always just be walking on the ceiling. Amen. Sometimes you got to get down where the brass tacks are and learn what it takes to live for God and serve the Lord. And so that's why you got to have a well-rounded diet. Remember those pyramids that you used to have in school where they teach you in nutrition and all the different components of it? And I don't know, probably changed that around since I was in school, but nevertheless, it takes more than just one component. It takes a myriad of things to make up a healthy apostolic, a healthy Christian. Can you say praise the Lord? And so this pipeline, it has obstacles sometimes. You think about the Alaskan pipeline. Really, what created that or caused all the legislation to be passed so that that could even happen? I think that's almost like 800 miles of pipeline, 700 something miles. That's a long ways. And it goes from one end of Alaska to the other, and then it connects with other things on lower, and then of course at seaports and stuff like that. And it's on the other side. It's on the west coast. And so these resources were there, but there was a lot of obstacles in trying to tap into them. But in 1973, some of you might remember, there was an oil crisis. And matter of fact, they was rationing gasoline and all kinds of things, and people was lined up, and it almost looked like it was third world here in the United States. And people were saving up gas, and when they got a chance to go to the gas pump, they was putting gas in every container that they could because they didn't know if they was going to have any more. And the thing about it was is really there was a surplus of oil to make gas, but it just the resource needed to be tapped into. And so soon after 1973, it's 1974, in fact, is when they began building the Alaskan pipeline as we know it today, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. And there was all kinds of people that tried to resist that and all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of things, not just groups being activists against it, but there was also geography that had to be contended with. I mean, they had to span rivers, and sometimes they went underneath rivers. Sometimes they built bridges above rivers. And then there was mountain wildernesses out there where they had to build this pipeline through. So it was a very challenging thing. But it was such a needed resource that there was a willingness to face those challenges if need be in order to build the pipeline that would connect this need with the resource that was there. Can I tell you that there's going to be challenges? You might as well anticipate those challenges and make up your mind. I set out to build a relationship with God, and that I'm going to do. And I may find some challenges along the way, but I'm going to face those challenges head on because this is what I need. This is what I got to have in order to survive in my relationship with God. So the first week we talked about sacrifice. Second week we talked about sifting. And this final week I want to talk to you about really two terms that are coupled together. And there's a reason why I think they should be coupled together, because really they're inseparable when you talk about them as far as in the spiritual context. And that is, we must be willing to surrender and submit. Surrender and submit. We talked about sacrifice and the price tag of getting involved and being willing to pay that price. And then the sifting, because you know, our motives have to be sifted through, and our attitude has to be sifted through, and our spirit and what's in our heart has to be purified. Again, God wants to bless, and God wants to anoint, and God wants to lay His hand upon us, but we many times have to have a purification and even sanctification of our motives. And God can place His hand of blessing upon us when some things are sifted through. But when we talk about surrender and submission, in order to fully submit to the will of God, you first must be willing to surrender your will. Can you say praise the Lord? And the greatest way to test whether or not you're fully surrendered to God is to examine your obedience to God. That's the first place that you're going to see whether or not you're really surrendered, is just how obedient you are. Because when you're totally surrendered, there is no resistance. There's no resistance to God's word. There's no resistance to the conviction that His Spirit brings. There's no resistance to the preaching that comes anointed from God's Word, or the teaching that comes anointed from God's Word. There's no resistance to that. Because when we're fully repented, that means death, right? Are you guys still here? Amen. That means dying out to our will. And when you are dead to your will, you can't debate no more. You can't argue no more. You can't resist anymore. I heard of a man that somebody come down to the altar and repented. And he said, well, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And they said, well. He said, oh, wait, just a minute. He said, let's get down here and repent some more because you're not repented. Because when you're fully repented, you're not going to resist the word of God. You're not going to resist what God is instructing you to do. So we have to die out. We have to die out. When you got somebody that's always wanting to resist something, that means that there's too much flesh. There's too much of them that is still unsurrendered to God and not yielded to God. In fact, you receive the Holy Ghost through yielding and surrendering to God. You keep the Holy Ghost by continuing to surrender and yield to God. Hallelujah. And so it's through obedience that we're continually, that's where the greatest tests come in our relationship with God, is through obedience to God. I'm not much of a horseman. I know Brother Norman is, but I'm not much of a horseman. But I was kind of raised around a family. My uncles were, and particularly one uncle that really was into horses a lot. And I noticed he liked a high-spirited horse. He didn't want one he had to kick all the time. And nobody likes to ride on a deadhead on a trail ride for, sometimes 20 miles. And I don't recommend that be your first ride, 20 miles. Matter of fact, you better try 2 miles and work yourself up. Amen. Or you may need some anointing. Praise God for sure. If you try to ride too far, too quick. But anyhow, he liked a high-spirited horse, and he had one. He had a paint horse for a long time that was half quarter horse, and it was half Tennessee Walker, because not only did he like a spirited horse, he liked a smooth horse, and it's hard to find the two. And he liked one that walk out fast, and you could drink your coffee off of it, not even splash you. And so a Tennessee Walker and half quarter horse, and so it had a gait. And it was muscled up, big horse, tall horse. And so anyway, it had the Tennessee Walker height, and then it had the body of a quarter horse. And it was pretty. It was a painted horse. And man, I was always a little bit intimidated of that horse because, of course, I was younger then. And I noticed that because it was so high-spirited, he didn't use the same bit on that horse as he used on some of the more gentler horses. And really, if you talk to horsemen, that's a bad habit to get into, is using a big, strong bit, because that horse never really learns what it is to be submitted to its rider. It's more or less compliance or force, and you got a bit that's shoving up into the roof of the mouth. I mean, you see bits that are like this, and they got a deal that when they pull back on the reins, that shoves that piece of metal or brass right up into the roof of that horse's mouth. Well, yeah, he wants to stop. But people that really train horses and know how to really train them good, they'll use a little old broken bit thing that's called, I think, Snapple bit? Is that what it's called? Snapple bit, and you put it in there, and it's not made or designed to hurt the horse, really. It's just a little gentle deal, and the horse knows that cue, and it submits to the rider. And those horses that are like that, they're a little more, they're just funner to ride, I'll tell you that, because the only bad thing about that big old spirited horse he had is you had to ride riding the brakes all the time. I mean, you just had to be, you'd wear your arms out trying to hold that thing back at least for the first four, five, 6 miles of the trail ride. You just hold him back all the time. And so that wasn't much fun. If you let him go, he'd put your shirt in the wind. I mean, he could run, and he was fast. But anyway, a snapple bit, you know, it's a gentler type of bit, and it's training that horse that, you know, you can just lay the reins over on the neck, and a good reining horse, it just gets the cue. I mean, it just knows. You're not having to, you know. My uncle used to tell me, he said, well, that horse right there, he said, you know, you won't turn that way. You're going to have to kick it on the opposite side. You're going to have to let it know you're on there. And I try to be gentle. And finally, you know, you get frustrated enough, you learn how to kick. Kind of like that old fella pulling that lawnmower. You learn how to get it started, praise God. And so you kick that thing and get it moving you know, but what kind of riding is that? That's not a horse that's really trained well. It's working more out of compliance than anything else. It's working more out of force. And there's a difference between simple obedience and compliance. Compliance kind of, well, it kind of reminds us of being coerced and being forced to do something. But when you're obedient, you just, I mean, you hear the word. You understand this is pleasing. Not only is this what God wants, but this is what's best for me. If He wants it for me, then that's what's best for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so you understand it's important that we be submitted to the things of God, to the Spirit of God, and not live our lives with a compliance mentality, but learn how to die out to the place that we learn how to be obedient to Him and say, God, I'm surrendered to Your will. You don't have to bring any kind of coercion or judgment or anything like that for me to be able to listen to You. But I know Your voice, and all you have to do is gently speak to me, and I will be obedient because I want to do what is pleasing in Your sight. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. And if you're only complying, a lot of times people comply to things and they live with a compliance mentality because they really don't fully comprehend that it's God that wants and knows what is best for us. And if I could surrender to Him, I'm going to be a lot more fulfilled and complete and happy anyway. But if I'm always resisting, pulling against the reins, and amen, then there's a struggle always going on. Amen. I hear people say, well, I'm going to strive to do this. And I understand what they're saying, and I understand that striving for things is important. I believe the Word of God supports that in some areas. But I'm going to tell you, when we're striving and always wrestling against the Spirit of God, that's not the will of the Lord for us. We need to learn how to get connected to Him and submit our will to Him through surrender and saying, God, I'm surrendering myself. Amen. Before you could take up your cross and follow Him, the Bible says you must deny yourself. That's the first order of business, is denying yourself. You cannot carry the cross as long as you're trying to do your own thing and be your own person. You've got to deny your own will in order to do the will of God. That's the only way to work. Cannot work any other way. And if you fully trust God, it's easy to be obedient to Him. A lot of times that horse, if he has a fear of the rider or a fear of the master, if he's been beaten and yanked around, you can tell it. You can tell that about a dog and its master. If it's been used to being yanked around, beaten around, you know, it doesn't. There's no trust there. There's no trust there. And that's why it's so important in a true relationship, there's trust. When we have a relationship with God that is healthy, there's trust involved. Not only Him trusting us, but us trusting Him that He's going to lead me where I need to go. And so there's a willingness to be obedient to Him because we trust Him. We don't hold back in any area. A lot of times people that fail to tithe are people that don't trust God. They don't trust His Word. That's a good sign. They don't trust Him. They don't trust His Word. Because if they trusted His Word, they would understand that God can stretch this 90% a lot further than the 100%. They would understand that God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. If His Word says this, I can trust Him that He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. And so by not trusting God, they fail to be obedient to God. And as a person that's disobedient to God, they short themselves the blessings of God in their life. Amen. You do understand that when we give unto the Lord, the Bible says that it rebukes the devourer. Amen. A lot of times I've noticed people that do not trust the Lord in their tithing, they end up losing anyway on the back end of things. Amen. God can allow things that should have happened not to happen because you're trusting Him and walking with Him. Amen. He can delay things and He can protect us from things. Somebody said, well, I understand. You know, I can't seem to get ahead. Buy three new tires and the fourth one that was good, it goes bad all of a sudden. And I get a flat on it. I'll tell you what it is. It's that devourer. But when you trust God, it rebukes that devourer. And God makes a way. Amen. And God helps us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I want to conclude with this. Genesis chapter 22 is probably the greatest illustration of total surrender. All the way back in the book of Beginnings, 22nd chapter, we know that to be the chapter of worship where Abraham is asked by the Lord to take Isaac, his only son, to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. And we, of course, know that the Lord did not allow him to go through with it. And when he laid him on the altar, and there's a lot of things in this story we could talk about. First of all, I've heard and read that Isaac could have been, he was at least, some people believe, 16 years old, possibly a lot older. And he could have easily overpowered a man that was now over 100 years old. He could have easily wrestled the knife away from him, but it took surrender on his part and a willingness to follow and trust and be led by his father in this venture of pleasing God. And so it doesn't matter if you're young or you got two ends of the spectrum here. You got young and you got old. We all have to submit and surrender our will to God. And it's a process that never stops. It doesn't matter how young you are, you got to do it. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you still find yourself in that process of surrendering to Him. Amen? Anybody got the flesh conquered here tonight? You got it whipped? You got your certificate that you defeated the flesh? Anybody? I don't see any hands. Amen. Sister Katie, we'll let you by with that one. I'm just joking with her. She can take it. But I'm just telling you that you have to be willing to surrender and give yourself and submit yourself and die out. And it's a daily process. Paul, spiritual man, said, I die daily. Yeah. Yeah. And so when he was willing to go through this, the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, now, the Lord said, now I know that you will not withhold anything from me. He was willing to give the thing that was meant so much to you, the promise that I gave to you. He was willing to put that on the altar. Now I know that you're not a withholder. I'm going to tell you, there's a withholding spirit in this world. There really is a withholding spirit. That's mine. That's my rights. That's my this. That's my that. I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. We're blessed because of Him. We're privileged to be here because of Him. And if He puts His finger on anything in our life and says, I desire you to surrender that, we don't need to be a withholder. I don't want to withhold worship. I don't want to withhold time to the Lord. I don't want to withhold any of my things that I can offer as far as talents to the kingdom of God. I want to give it all. I want to surrender it all. I don't want to be a withholder. I don't want to withhold finance, anything. God, whatever it is that you desire, that's what I want to be willing to do. Amen. I'm willing, God. Is there anybody feel that way today? I'm willing, God. Why don't you stand with me right now? I want to ask you again tonight, if you're willing, if you desire to draw closer to Him and nearer to Him and deepen your walk with God. This is final lesson on this subject, certainly not the final lesson on relationship with God, but in this particular focus series of lessons. But I just want to challenge you, if you desire and there's a willingness to draw closer. Maybe you don't know all the intricacies of it. You don't know how it's all going to unfold, but you're surrendered to say, God, I will follow you. Wherever you lead me, whatever you desire of me. I'll tell you this real quickly. We was traveling, and it was just getting started in the ministry, and wasn't a lot going on, and we were kind of detained because of my second born being born. And so we were there and having to stay localized in the area. And I remember a prayer that I prayed, God, whatever your will is and your desire is for my life, that's what I'm surrendering to you. And you know, God answered that prayer. And I go back to that many times and I say, God, I want to be still willing like I was then. I want to still have the same spirit and attitude of surrender that I had then. And God has helped me, and God has helped me to understand and comprehend some things that before I didn't, because it was a total place of surrender for me. And everybody has to get to that place at some point in your relationship with God. Are you willing tonight? Why don't you step out from where you are and come around this